I apologize for the lack of Mar Makomos this evening. I was asked by people who aren't here to speak about a topic of Erev Tavshilin, considering that we have so many times over the next couple of weeks where we're going to be needing an Erev Tavshilin, so it's something that we're going to be getting in the practice of doing. So someone asked me to speak about just the basic halachos, what it's about, what's behind Erev Tavshilin. So I didn't have a chance to put together Mar Makomos, but we'll talk it out, and again, hopefully get an idea of what the theory behind Erev Tavshilin is, and then move on to like very practical, how to do it, what it accomplishes, etc., and what happens when troubleshooting when it comes to Erev Tavshilin. For instance, this past Rosh Hashanah, we had a 3-day Yontif, and right after I give Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, so I wasn't around most of the day because I gave Shabbos Shuvah Drasha for the women and then for the men. So late in the afternoon, I wasn't really around to make sure that the Erev Tavshilin got eaten, and I got home, and after Havdalah, I needed a cold drink. I went to the little fridge in the garage, and I see that there's an egg and a matzah in a bag in the fridge. That must be the Erev Tavshilin. I didn't even think that it would be there, so it never got eaten on Shabbos. So is that a problem if an Erev Tavshilin doesn't get eaten? So let's start from the beginning. What's the issue? What do we even need an Erev Tavshilin for? So the issue basically is that there is an issur to do any malacha on Yantif for the purpose of another day. There are certain malachas we're allowed to do on Yantif, even though they are lamitas malachas. You're allowed to cook on Yantif for the sake of Ochel, because it's for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. The Pasuk in the Torah says that even though kol malacha is asur on Yantif, which includes all lamitas malachas, that which is for Ochel Nefesh, that which is for a basic bodily need, that you're allowed to do on Yantif. So how to define that is somewhat interesting and intricate. And that touches on the issue of showering on Yantif and what exactly is considered Ochel Nefesh, what's considered Shavah L'Kol Nefesh, something that's universally enjoyed. But be that as it may, malachas are asur to do on Yantif, except for those which are mutter because of Ochel Nefesh. Now, even those that are mutter for Ochel Nefesh, you're not allowed to do to prepare for another day, for any other day other than the day of Yantif that it is itself. So you're not allowed to do malacha to prepare for the next day of Yantif. You're not allowed to do malacha to prepare for a weekday. You're not allowed to do malacha to prepare for Chol HaMoed. It's also asur to do even non-malacha stuff on Yantif if you're preparing it for the next day. This isn't only limited to malacha, even non-malacha stuff is asur to do in preparation for the next day. For instance, on the first day of Yantif, you can't set the table in the afternoon for that night's meal. You have to wait until after candlelighting that night, everyone comes home from Maariv and you set the table. And that's even though typically on Shabbos and Yantif we try to be prepared in advance, there's only so much you could do. You're not allowed to prepare from one day to the other. So the Erev Tavshilin is, the rabbis instituted a rule that someone who sets aside food before Yantif, and that food is designated to be Shabbos food, that it's designated dafka to be food that's meant for Shabbos, so you're allowed to cook and do other preparations, food preparations on Yantif for Shabbos, once you set aside that food. That's basically what the Erev Tavshilin is. The question is, what's the background? Why do we need it? What does it accomplish? What were the Rabbanan addressing with the piece of matzah and the egg? So a little more background information. Obviously, if the Rabbanan need to be matir cooking on Yantif for Shabbos, then obviously there must have been an iser. So what kind of iser is that? That iser without the Erev Tavshilin, let's say you don't have an Erev Tavshilin, that iser to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, is that an iser d'oraisa or is that an iser d'rabbanan? So off the cuff, it's got to be the Rabbanan, right? Because if the Rabbanan have the right to be matirit through the Erev Tavshilin to create a mechanism called an Erev Tavshilin that gets around it, so it's got to be an Issa D'Rabbanan. If we're an Issa D'Oraisa, the Rabbanan aren't authorized to come up with a mechanism to get you around an Issa D'Oraisa. So it has to be the Rabbanan. Question is, why isn't it Issa D'Oraisa? After all, like we said before, every malacha, all lamed tes malachos, are asur on Yantif, including cooking. It's just that cooking for the sake of Ochel Nefesh or any basic bodily need that's Shavah L'Kol Nefesh is mutter. But Shavah L'Kol Nefesh, Ochel Nefesh means you need it today. You need it on Yantif. If you're not going to need it until after Yantif, then that's not called Ochel Nefesh. That's not called something that you're allowed to do on Yantif. So shouldn't it be an Issa D'Oraisa of cooking if you're cooking for some other day? If you're sitting there on Friday afternoon on Erev Sukkot, not Erev Sukkot, on the second day of Sukkot, and you're cooking for Shabbos, that's not Ochel Nefesh, that's for Shabbos. So shouldn't it be an Issur D'Oraisa? Why is it only an Issur D'Rabbanan? It has to be only Issur D'Rabbanan, again, because if the Rabbanan can get around it with an Erev Tavshilin, it's got to be the Rabbanan. But why? Why isn't it Issur D'Oraisa? So that fundamental question is a machlokas in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. It's a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Chista in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, why it is that it's Mutter Mita Oraisa to cook on Yantar for Shabbos and only Issur Mita Rabbanan. Rabba says as follows. Rabbi Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Chesam Beis says there is a concept called Hoel Ve'i Meklai Yorchim Chazilei, which means that at any moment guests can arrive and you may need more food than you expect. Sometimes happens. You know, my house, Baruch Hashem, happens all the time. You know, Talmud knocks on the door. I just wanted you to meet my kala, my whatever. You know, and just people just come in, and you got to make sure you hope that you have a cake or something to throw on the table and to just, you know, to greet people, to welcome people. So since you never know, even though you're spending Yantiv, just you and your family, and it's quiet, you never know when an army is going to show up. An army might come, a group of people might come and expect food. So even though really you're cooking more food than you could ever eat today, and there's no way that you're really going to use this today, you're planning on using it on Shabbos, but you never know, you might, if an army shows up, you'll use it today. So since, holvi meklai orchem chazilei, since theoretically it could be used for today, it's called ochel nefesh for today, and therefore it's mutter to cook. Now, that's why mida oraisa, it's mutter to cook. The Rabbanan, however, said that we should make a takana not to rely on Hawil. Because come on, what are the chances? And if we're going to allow people to cook beyond for other days, it doesn't seem right. So they made a takana not to rely on Hawil. But when Shabbos follows Yantiv immediately, right, when Shabbos comes right after Yantiv, so they made something called Erev Tavshilin to override the takana. So it's a three-step process. It starts with Mida Oraisa, it's absolutely mutter to cook on Yantar for Shabbos. Then the Rabbanan created an Isser on that, and then they created an end around to their own Isser. Right? They created an out to their own Isser called Erev Tavshilin. That's how Rabba understands it. Now, why did Chazal see fit to make the original Takana to not rely on Hawil? Hawil sounds good. Hawil Meklai Yorchum Chazal, you never know when you're going to need it. So why not rely on that? Why did they have to play with that? What was wrong with it? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. He's known as the Baal HaTanya, but in halachic circles, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is considered one of the great works of halacha. It's quoted on pretty much every single page of Mishnah Brura. It's not like some out there sefer. It's one of the outstanding halachic works in Jewish history. So he happened to also author the Baal HaTanya. So he's again Chassidus, you know, in the world of Chassidus, he's known for Baal HaTanya. But in Shulchan Aruch Rav, and I think Chabadniks to this day are very loyal to the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Every single thing he paskins, pretty much. I think the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the past Lubavitcher Rebbe, the current Lubavitcher Rebbe, same one, said that there are certain things that they don't follow Shulchan Aruch Rav because they had a tradition that there are certain things that when he got older he changed his mind from. That when he was actually writing the Sefer, he was younger and he was a little more hesitant, he was a little more gun shy, he didn't want to be too independent, he didn't want to go against Deos and Poskim that came before him, but when he got a little older and a little more confident and settled in his ways, he was willing to be Mechadesh a little bit more. So there are certain rare instances where Chabadniks will not follow the Shulchan Aruch Rav, but it's not because they're not following the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's because they'll tell you that they have a tradition that he actually changed his mind. You see that, by the way, a lot in terms of the development of Poskim. I just spoke to one of my Rebbeim today about a very serious, complicated halachic issue of Baruch Simon, and like with him I saw it a ton. Like when I was in the Shir, he was a very young Rav, and he was everything, mamish, you know, by the book, exactly what, or Shachter says this, or Shachter says that, you know, he wasn't too innovative at the time. Knew everything, always knew everything. Now, like, you see so much more in terms of chiddush, in terms of shtalt and paskening a shayla, it's unbelievable. Like you really see when a person gets a little bit older and they're a little more experienced, they're willing to, you know, to go out on a limb a little bit more. Anyway, that's a total side point. Shulchan Aruch Rav explains over here. Shulchan Aruch Rav explains in Sim Tavkuf Chav Zayin Sif Aleph that if we were to rely on the din d'oraisa of holy mekalei yarchem chazilei, that guests can come and therefore you never know when you're going to need a lot of food, people would likely do a good chunk of their weekday cooking on Yontif. Because let's be honest, most of us are busy during the week, and Yontif, we're off, and we're sitting at home all day. And if people realize, look, I could cook now, and I can cook as much as I need, so our wives would be cooking and freezing for the next 3 months. We'll have enough food to last us, so they're not going to have to worry about cooking for a long time. They'll just cook and freeze. And since, obviously, you know, even before the days of freezers, Chazal were concerned that people are going to do cooking for the week if we allow Ho'il to go unchecked. Because Ho'il just says, unlimited, cook whatever you want. So in order to minimize the stress and the tircha on Yantif, and to enhance the experience of Yantif, said the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that's why Chazal said, don't rely on Ho'il. But then they came up with Erev Tavshilin as a way that you can then go back to relying on Ho'il. But that was the reason for the original Takana. We'll get back to how Erev Tavshilin fits into the picture in a moment. That's all the opinion of Rabbah, that there is such a concept of Ho'il, and that's why Midoraisa Tzmutu to cook on Yantif for Shabbos. Second Shita is the Shita of Rav Chista. Rav Chista doesn't think that the concept of Ho'il is meaningful at all. He doesn't think that we can rely on Ho'il or that there is a Dinda Oraisa, that just because an army might show up, that means that what you're cooking now is really called Ochel Nefesh for today. Rav Chista says, no, there's no army at your door. Right now, you know what you're cooking for. You're cooking for tomorrow. That's not Ochel Nefesh for today. He says, let's be honest about it. So why is it then that there's no Issa D'Oraisa to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, right? Why wouldn't it be Asur Midoraisa? So Rav Chista says, no, the Dinda Oraisa is that Shabbos is so chashuv, Shabbos is so important, that Sarche Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov, that you're allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. The Isur to cook on Yontif for another day is for another day of Yontif, or for a weekday, or for Chol HaMoed. But to cook for Shabbos, that's always mutter. Sarche Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov, that's the Dinda Oraisa. The Rabbanon came along, and the Rabbanon were Masakein, that no, that we're not going to say Tzorchei Shabbos, Nasim B'Yom Tov. But that was the din, according to Rav Chista. So the question is, why? Why would Tzorchei Shabbos be allowed to be done on Yantif? Because Shabbos is so chashuv, but what's the halachic mechanism? Meaning, other than just saying, we really like Shabbos. What is it that allows for, meaning, we know the halacha is, you're not allowed to be Mechal Yantif. We know that you're not allowed to cook on Yantif if it's not for Ochel Nefesh or, you know, some Yantif need. So why is the fact that tomorrow is Shabbos, why does that help, that I'm allowed to cook for Shabbos? So it's a Machlokas Rishonim on the Gemara Pesachim right there in Daf Mem Ches. Rashi holds that when Shabbos comes right after Yantif, there's something called Kedusha Achasi. It's a big chiddush to apply this to Shabbos and Yantif, because you would think that if there's ever been Shtei Kedushos, two separate, completely distinct days, it would be Shabbos and Yantif. They're two, they have different karbanos, they're totally different, they're on different calendars, they work on different systems, right? Yantif is on the day of the month, Shabbos is the day of the week, but nevertheless, Rashi says that when Shabbos comes right after Yantif, it's considered one long extended Kedusha, it's Kedusha Achas, and therefore it's like one long day, so it's like cooking on Yantif, for that same day of Yantif. That's the mechanism that Rashi uses. Yeah?
Don't we have a Todienu between Shabbos and Yantif?
Yeah, so questions do we paskin like Rashi, but even so, meaning does that, well, do we have it between Shabbos and Yantif, between Yantif and Shabbos?
When Yantif is after Shabbos.
This is, yeah, that's when Yantif is after Shabbos. This is
so
between,
that wouldn't be Kedusha Achas?
That's a good question. I don't know if Rashi would say that. I mean,
but you wouldn't be cooking on Shabbos.
You wouldn't, right, you wouldn't be cooking on Shabbos anyway, because there's no cooking on Shabbos. Right. But yeah, but that's a sharp point, because why would that make any logical sense? That it would be Kedusha Achas when Yantif precedes Shabbos and not when Shabbos precedes Yantif. If the two, unless you assume that Kedusha Achas has to stay the same or build up, but but a decline in Kedusha maybe can't be Kedusha Achas. I don't know. But that's Shitas Rashi in Maseches Pesachim. Tosos Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Zayin says that no, there's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos. There's a mitzvah. In fact, this is, it's really a hechsher mitzvah. The Torah, the Netziv has a very famous comment about the concept of hechsher mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah, generally speaking, is whatever you need to do to prepare for a mitzvah. So even though, let's say, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is to lay in the Megillah, I may need to prepare weeks in advance by buying a Megillah, writing a Megillah, learning to read Hebrew, learning the trap. All of that is hechsher mitzvah. So hechsher mitzvah doesn't rise to the level of regular mitzvah. The Netziv writes in the couple of places in his commentary to the Sheiltos, and the Tziv wrote a major commentary to the Sheiltos Rav Chaigon. The Sheiltos Rav Chaigon was not, I can't imagine, was very widely learned before the Tziv. It's still not so widely learned, but the Tziv's commentary is more widely learned than the Sheiltos themselves that they were written on. But the Tziv wrote a major, major commentary to the Sheiltos. He wrote, probably because he ran out of things to write on. He wrote on everything. It's unbelievable. He's one of the most prolific authors. He wrote on all of Shas and Tshuvas and Chumash and He wrote on Sifri and Sifra. He wrote on everything. It was unbelievable. So he wrote on the Sheiltos Rav Chaigon. But he has, they printed in three volumes now. To each volume, he put out like a 20-page hakdama on each volume of his commentary to the Sheiltos. And the hakdama is like Yesodos in Torah Sheval Peh. It's unbelievable. But now they put all the hakdamas together. So it's one big 50-page hakdama. Just incredible. It's a whole limud. It's a whole sefer in its own. Just the hakdama to the Sheiltos. We used to have a hakdama shir in shul at Shalashudas. They used to go through different hakdamas, but if we would have tried doing that hakdama, it would have taken us 2 years. But anyway, so the Netziv has a famous comment that not all hechsher mitzvahs are created equal. For instance, it's a hechsher mitzvah to build the sukkah. However, the hechsher mitzvah to build the sukkah isn't just something that I know logically that if I want a sukkah, I need to build a sukkah. The pasuk actually says chakas sukkos ta'asalachem, that you have to make sukkos, you have to make huts. So if the pasuk says to make it, but that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in it. But says the Netziv, that's a hechsher mitzvah k'suva b'kra. That when there's a hechsher mitzvah that the Torah itself identifies as that the Torah tells you to do, that's a much higher level hechsher mitzvah. So for instance, the concept of mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho, that it's better for you to do the mitzvah than to hire a shliach to do the mitzvah, will work for a hechsher mitzvah, will apply not only to a mitzvah but even to a hechsher mitzvah k'suva b'kra. Any hechsher mitzvah that says in Chumash, it's better for you to do than to hire someone else to do. That's why many people are makbid, even if they hire somebody to build the sukkah, at least leave a few pieces of schach to put up yourself. Mitzvah bo, yosim b'shlucho. Gedilim ta'asalacha. The pasuk says, you should tie your tzitzis. So, tying the tzitzis isn't the mitzvah, wearing the tzitzis is the mitzvah. But it's a hechsher mitzvah k'suva b'kra, and it says it's kedai to play some role, at least, in tying your own tzitzis. But one of those examples that he gives is preparing for Shabbos. That preparing for Shabbos also, it's hard to see exactly how it's k'suva b'kra, but he says that that's an example of a hechsher mitzvah that's k'suva b'kra. So we have an absolute chiyuv to prepare for Shabbos. Is it a mitzvah per se? Maybe it's not a mitzvah, but it's an obligation, right? We definitely are obligated to prepare in advance for Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, it's quoted in the Bir Halacha, in Hilcha Shabbos, goes through how the Amoraim, various Amoraim, would stop whatever they were doing on Friday and get up from their learning, from the Beis Medrash, and do sweep the house and do other things that were necessary for preparation of Shabbos. I remember my mother came to my house once on Friday afternoon when I was setting the table, and she said, I don't understand. You pay a woman who works in the house all week. What do you have to set the table for? I said, no, this is I'm any less than Rabbah. You know, I'm greater than Rabbah, that I have to, that he could do it, and I'm not going to do it. It's an Indian that, it's more than an Indian. It's a chiyuv to actually play a role in preparing for Shabbos. Binyamin Pam told me that his grandfather used to Rav Pam, in case you couldn't figure it out, Rav Pam used to get up every Friday and make a kugel. He said he made a lakshan kugel every Friday. That was his preparation for Shabbos. That's how he helped participate in the preparation for Shabbos. So, says Tosfos, since there's a chiyuv to prepare for Shabbos in advance, and the only way to do that when Yontif falls out on Thursday, Friday, is by actually doing it on Yontif, because if you do it on Wednesday, all the food's going to spoil. It's not going to work before the days of modern refrigeration. So that's considered an ochel nefesh of yontif need. It's considered a tzorech hayom of yontif because that's your chiyuv today. Your chiyuv on erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. You're allowed to cook. The halacha is like we said before. You're allowed to cook for ochel nefesh, which means to eat. You're also allowed to cook for any any type of yontif need that's shavah l'kol nefesh, that universally is understood and enjoyed to be a necessity. So this is a chiyuv. So that makes it a necessity for the day. That's how Tosfos understands why Tzarchei Shabbos, according to Rav Chisda, may in fact be done on Yantif. Now that we understand why Midah Oraisa, it was mutter to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, why did the Rabbanan come along and say that it's aser, that you need to do, if without an Erev Tavshilin, we're not going to allow it. So apparently they were concerned that if the Din Oraisa were to stay as is, people would mistakenly think that you can cook, if I can cook on Yantif for Shabbos, I can cook on Yantif for a weekday also. You see, I'm allowed to cook on Yantif for other days. So apparently they were concerned that one isn't going to distinguish between preparing for Shabbos and preparing for other days. So that apparently was their primary concern. So they said, no, you're not allowed to cook on Yantif for Shabbos unless you have our halachic mechanism in place, which we'll get to in a second. Before we get to that, though, Rabbi and Rav Chisda seems like a purely academic machlokas. They're arguing why Midah Oraisa, it was mutter, Midah Oraisa, to cook on Yantif for Shabbos. Rabbi said, since guests might show up and you might really need it today. And Rav Chisda said, it's just because Shabbos is special, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos. What's the nafkamina, my nafkamina between them? So the simple, logical nafkamina is, on a Doraisa level, would you be allowed to cook for a weekday? Let's say it wasn't Shabbos. According to Rabbah, the whole reason you're allowed to cook on Yantif for Shabbos is because you never know when guests are going to show up. And therefore, it's not really for tomorrow, it's for today. So it shouldn't make a difference if tomorrow is Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't matter. Right? It's for today, because guests might show up. According to Rav Chisda, no, it's about the chashivus of Shabbos. So if it's about the chashivus of Shabbos, so obviously it's only when Shabbos is going to be the next day. So that's not enough gemina, though. That's a theoretical enough gemina. Meaning, when you ask l'may nafkamina, you need halach l'maysa. Bottom line, is there any will it make a difference in my life, one way or the other? Right? One way or the other. So where's the nafkamina l'halacha? Because that won't help us. Because we all know Chazal never instituted Erev Tavshilin for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So it's not going to help us. It doesn't matter how you paskin over there. It's I often mention that one of my rebbeim in, not really my rebbe, one of the rebbeim in Keren B'Yavneh, when guys would ask him, L'may nafkamina, and he was in the middle of saying Lamda Shashir, where he was just trying to focus on the theory behind the halacha, he would just blurt out, nafkamina is whether you know how to learn or you don't know how to learn. That was his thing. But, you know, well, there's a halacha shir. We should actually have a real nafkamina. That's a cop-out, right? What's the real nafkamina? So nafkamina is very simple. What if you're cooking very late in the afternoon on Friday afternoon? You put something in that needs 3 hours of cooking in the oven, and you put it in 3 hours before Shabbos starts. So if guests were to come, it's not going to be ready for them anyway. So if you hold that the whole reason that it's not Asur Midoraisa to cook on Yantif for Shabbos is because guests might come, well then no mechanism of Erev Tavshilin is going to help you over there because you have Nisr Doraisa. It's Nisr Doraisa. Without Hoil, you have Nisr Doraisa. So no rabbinic mechanism is going to help you. But if you hold, it's not about the guests. You're just allowed to prepare for Shabbos. So then it's okay, even very late in the afternoon. That's a critical nafkamina. The how do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel writes, L'charchila, we paskin like Rabbah, meaning that we, L'charchila, we try to be concerned to finish up in time, that if guests were to come, they would have to have time to eat before Shabbos starts. But b'diavir, if no food was cooked earlier, we rely on Rav Chisda. The Aruch HaShulchan says that he's never seen people actually be makbid about this, that to make sure that it gets done early in the day on Erev Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says, no, people are makbid about this. Look at the Zman that Yishul Davin's Maariv when Shabbos follows Yantif. When Yantif falls on Thursday, Friday, very very often shuls will daven marav a little bit earlier. He says, why are they davening marav a little bit earlier? Because if you got to get to shul earlier, you'll probably finish the cooking with plenty of time in advance for Shabbos. So they're davening a little bit earlier to make sure that you don't mess up. Rabba's Shita. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. So that's all the background here of Tavshilin. So now we know why we have a heter mida oraisa to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, and why the Rabbanan took away that heter. The Rabbanan said it's aser. Now, why did Chazal require an Erev Tavshilin? What was the idea of the Erev Tavshilin? This is also Machlokas Amarayim. Machlokas between Rava and Ravashi. Rava says in Masechus Beis Daf Yudalim Beis that the Chazal required an Erev Tavshilin kidei sheyivar mana yafal l'Shabbos and mana yafal l'Yom Tov. The Chazal were concerned that you're going to be eating so much in Yantif, you're going to forget to leave something over for Shabbos. And in order to make sure that you respect Shabbos properly, leave an egg and a piece of matzah for Shabbos to have a nice mana yafa. Make sure that there's at least something that's set aside that's untouchable on Yantif. That's Shabbos food. That's Rava's opinion. Ravashi says, no, the Eruv was instituted to remind a person that it's also to cook on Yantif for Shabbos. Meaning, if without something special, without something unique in place, you're going to think that really it's mutter to cook on Yantif for Shabbos. So meaning, once you have the Eruv, you're going to realize that it's only mutter to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, but not for a weekday. That generally, it's asur to cook on Yantif for any other day. Without the Eruv, you would just have that confusion. You would think it's mutter to cook on Yantif for any other day. So, Bekitzer, according to Rava, the first opinion, what's the purpose of the Eruv? It's for the kavod of which day? For the kavod of Shabbos. It's not to enhance Yantif. It's to make sure you leave enough for Shabbos. According to Ravashi, the purpose of the Eruv is to enhance the kavod of Yantif. That you should realize Yantif it's not a free-for-all. You can't just cook on Yantif whatever you want. Now, there's Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand Rav Ashi exactly. This idea that the Eruv is just there as a hecker. Rashi understands that the Eruv serves to begin the cooking for Shabbos from Erev Yantif. Meaning, in what way is it a hecker? Because you've already started cooking for Shabbos. And therefore, whatever you're doing on Yantif isn't really cooking for Shabbos, it's just finishing up the cooking for Shabbos. That's the way you would formulate. So, you cooked your hard-boiled egg already, so you're pretty much set for Shabbos. Now all you gotta do is the roast and the chicken and the kugels and the soup and whatever. Right? So that's just finishing up the cooking for Shabbos. That's the concept behind it according to Rashi. And in that way, you'll realize that Yantif is not a free-for-all. The Rambam, however, writes that the Erev does not serve as the beginning of the cooking for Shabbos. It's just a reminder. It's a hecker. He says it's very similar to Erev Chatzeros. The Erev Chatzeros is also food. When we have an Erev in our town, there's a box of matzah somewhere. They say the rabbi, you're supposed to ask the rabbi if you want to know where the box of matzahs is. I assume there's some rabbi in town that knows. I have no idea. I guess I would call him. I build it. I don't know. But there's somebody knows where there's a box of matzah somewhere that we're all shutfim in. That's how an Erev Chatzeros works. What is that food the beginning of the cooking for something? Of course not. It's just symbolic, right? It's there. So same is true there of Tavshil and the Rambam writes. Now is there a nafkamina between Rav and Ravashi? So what if a person has no intention to cook on Yantif for Shabbos at all? So Rava might still require the Eruv, because according to Rava, the whole idea is you want to make sure you leave a mana yafel Shabbos. You want to make sure you don't eat all your food on Yantif and not leave yourself anything to eat for Shabbos. So according to Rava, it may make no difference whether you plan on actually cooking on Yantif. Maybe you have everything cooked already. Maybe you're invited out for both meals on Shabbos, so you don't have to cook for Shabbos. But according to Rava, still you should make an Eruv. According to Ravashi, there's no sense in making an Eruv if you don't plan on cooking. The whole point is to enhance the kavod of Yantif when you're cooking, that you shouldn't think that it's a free-for-all. But if you're not going to cook, then you're in no danger whatsoever. So that machlokas, how do we pass on that machlokas? That one I was asked twice this past week. I don't really plan on doing any preparations on Yantif for Shabbos. So do I still have to make an Eruv Tavshilin? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, and Nigros Moshe, or Chaim Chelakei, Simen Chaf, Oschavav, he says that if you have no intention to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, you're not chayiv to make an Erev Tavshilin, but you should try to do some preparation on Yantif for Shabbos, just so that you could do an Erev Tavshilin, because you never know. And that led to another shayla that I was asked this week, someone who did not do it because they assumed that they weren't going to do anything, and then they changed their mind, and they wanted on Yantif to be able to cook for Shabbos. And they said, you know, we changed our mind. Can we rely on the rabbi's Erev now? Because we changed our mind. So we'll get to that in a second. But that's the basic theory behind Erev Tavshil. Now let's get to some practical stuff. First of all, what does it allow you to do? What actions are permissible on the basis of an Erev Tavshilin? So in terms of food preparation, any malacha that you need to do for food preparation that's normally mutter to do on Yantif for Yantif is mutter to do on Yantif for Shabbos when you have an Erev Tavshilin. The Ramai in Tavkuf Chav Ches, if Beis, Paskins, that you're not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen or Erev Chatzeros on Yantif that falls on Erev Shabbos. Meaning if you want to make an Erev within the community on the Yantif, so that you'll be able to carry on Shabbos, he says you're not allowed to do that. And the Mishnah says, because the Erev Tavshilin only allows malachos for food preparation, and carrying isn't a malacha for food preparation. However, other poskim explain the halacha differently, and whatever, we're not going to get into that. So other poskim might say a little differently than the Mishnah Berura, and there might be makom to be samech on them for non-food preparation. Meaning, let's say, can I bring something home from shul on Friday that's yantif, when I'm not going to need it at home the rest of the day, yantif, I'm going to need it at home on Shabbos. Let's say, for instance, I plan on davening in a different shul on Shabbos morning than I am on yantif. So I have my talis, and I have a cubby in my shul where my talis is perfectly safe, and it's not that I'm taking it home to protect it or anything. Can I bring my talis home on that second day of yantif in clear preparation for Shabbos, so that I'll have it at home to be able to use it on Shabbos? So if you hold that the heter of Erev Tavshilin only allows food preparation type of things, then absolutely not. The makom b'shasat chak, we're somich on the other shita. You know, we could be somich on the other shita, but really the chadchila, it's best not to do that. What about when the preparation for Shabbos does not involve any malacha? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you're allowed to prepare from yantiv for Shabbos if there's no malacha at all, meaning even if it's not food preparation, based on an erev tavshilin. So when it's not food preparation, if it is a malacha, best not to do it. So that, but if it's not a malacha, then you're allowed to do it. So actually, in the Talis case, it would turn out that even lechatchila, it would be mutter. What about, and this I was asked also this past week, these Erev Tavshilin, you're going to see these come up when you're making an Erev Tavshilin. Someone said, look, Friday was going to be a busy day. Thursday was going to be a much calmer day. They were invited out for lunch on Friday, and it happened to be with Rosh Hashanah, davening ends whenever it ends. If you're invited out for lunch, so you're basically out of your house till Mincha, you're not going to have time to cook anything. But Thursday, they went home for lunch, and they figured there would be more time. Can they cook on Thursday for Shabbos, based on the Erev Tavshilin? So Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Chav Zayin, Sif Yud Gimel, says that you may not begin preparing for Shabbos on Thursday. That's the first day of Yantif. And the reason is that the Chacham only instituted Erev Tavshilin in order to prepare on the day immediately preceding Shabbos. Meaning, especially if you go back to what we said before, that it's about the mitzvahs hayom of preparing for Shabbos. When is that mitzvahs hayom? That's on Friday. When is it a need of that day? It's only on Friday. It's not going to be on Thursday. What's the procedure? How does a person make an Erev Tavshilin? So we take a cooked food and a baked food, hold it in your right hand, and you say the bracha. And then we say the following paragraph. Bahadine ruva, ye sharalana la afuye, la vashule, la tmune, la dluke sharga. With this Erev, it should be mutter for us to bake, to cook, to do hatmana, to insulate, to light candles, l'sakna, and to make other preparations, l'mevet, kol tzorchan, and to do any need, miyama tava l'shabata. From Yom Tov to Shabbos. That's the procedure. Now, in the Machzor, it says more than that. If you open up any Machzor or Siddur where it says the Erev Tavshilin, it says something like, La no, l'kol Yisrael hadarin b'yarazo, something like that. It says, for me and for every other person. That's because rabbis buy Machzorim also. But that text is really only meant for the rabbi. The rabbi is the one who's supposed to take the responsibility of making the Erev for everybody else in case they forgot. So people tend to just read what it says, but really, there's no reason to add that last phrase. Now, what if you're just saying it, but you have no idea what you're saying, which, you know, after all, it's Aramaic, and not everyone is so fluent in Aramaic. So the Rama writes that that's really not appropriate. That's like saying bitul chametz in whatever language, in a language that you don't understand. What's the definition of bitul chametz? That you actually have to be mevatel the chametz. You actually have to say, this chametz is nothing to me. If you're just going and saying abracadabra, and then you walk away, and it doesn't mean anything to you, so then it's not bitul chametz. So here also, you're going to go and you're going to say this passage, but you have no idea what the passage is. You have no idea what it means. So that's not really appropriate. The reason they were misaking it, not in Hebrew, was so that the Amoratzim should be, so that people who don't understand Hebrew should be able to understand what they're saying. So if you don't understand Aramaic, so read it from the English side of the Machzor. That would be the more appropriate thing to do. What if you didn't say the passage? So if you realize before Yantif, then you should, if you set aside the Erev and you didn't say the passage, you just pick up the Erev and say the passage again, but this time without the bracha. If you didn't realize until Yantif, then it's not a good Erev. The passage is actually ma'akev. You have to, it's not just good enough to cook the egg. You have to say why you're doing it. Because there are a lot of reasons why you might be cooking an egg. In order to give it a chalosh shem Erev, you have to say why you're doing it. Now, what type of food should a person use? I keep on saying egg, but that's what seems to be the minhag yisrael, but that's not at all required that it be an egg. The Rabbeinu Tam, Masechet Beitzah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, and Tosos says, look, if you want to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, you need a cooked food. If you want to bake on Yantif for Shabbos, you need a baked food. But other than that, no specific requirements. The way the Pnei Yeshua understands Rabbeinu Tam is, if is that it's not even so required to. Even if you want to bake on Yom Tov or Shabbos, you don't really need a baked food. It's just a nice chumra lecharchila to have a baked food to symbolize the heter to bake. The Chuvus Amudei Eish, however, thinks that no, that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that if you want to bake, you must have a baked item, that it's absolutely required, and that it's not negotiable. If you only have the, let's say, the hard-boiled egg, you're only going to be allowed to cook, you're not going to be allowed to bake. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. The Ri, however, quoted in Tosos, says, no, you only need a cooked item. The baked item doesn't help at all. It's lo malav lo marid. You don't need a piece of matzah, challah, anything. The cooked item is plenty good. How do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch says, you should use a baked item, but the Mishmur says, but Mikra Din, we really paskin like the Ri. So Mikra Din, even if you only have a cooked item, that's good enough. So most people, I think, are trying to be makpid that they have something baked when they make their Erev Tavshilin. I think the minig is people use matzah because challah is going to get stale, probably over the course of a couple of days, matzah doesn't get stale. But there are just some requirements about the food. The cooked food has to be something that's eaten together with bread. It has to be something that's eaten as part of a meal together with bread. Meat, fish, eggs, meaning it shouldn't be something like cooked cereal or something like oatmeal or something like that, because you don't smear oatmeal on your bread. So it has to be something that's eaten as part of a meal together with bread, such food. It should also be at least a kazayas. I think that's why we use an egg, because as many chumras as you want to add to the shear of a kazayas can't be bigger than an egg, because that's a kibetza, right? So it's impossible. Now, nothing's impossible. I mean, there's a book that actually has the shear of a kazayas for any food you want to eat. How many Twizzlers is a kazayas of Twizzlers? It has pictures. I've seen this. And you look, I looked up olives. How many olives do you have to eat for a kazayas of olives? And it said 3 large olives, meaning a kazayas by definition means a medium-sized olive. A medium-sized olive. When you throw all the chumras in, what they came out with is 3 large olives is the shear of a kazayas. So nothing's out of the question. I guess, you know, a kibetza could be small, but you should realize that the eggs that we have in the supermarket, you ever go in the supermarket, what do they have? They have large eggs, extra large eggs, and jumbo eggs. We're all the medium and small eggs, so it's not just a marketing ploy. There actually are medium and small eggs. Those go to the Entenmann's company and to anyone else who doesn't care about having the perfect-looking dozen eggs. Right? So our eggs are pretty large. So if you use an egg, you're pretty sure to have a kazayas. Mistama, that's why we use an egg, because it's a very safe kazayas. It should also be specifically cooked for that Eruv, especially if you consider the shita, that the whole idea is that you're starting your cooking for Shabbos. So if you were just cooking it stam because you thought to have an Erev Yantif, a hard-boiled egg for lunch, and then you said, oh, you know what, why don't I just use this for the Erev? So that's not really ideal. Ideally, this should be the beginning of your cooking for Shabbos, so really it should be something that's cooked for that purpose. The baked item should be bread or matzah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you don't have bread or matzah, you could even use cake as long as it's made one of the Chameshas Minei Dagan. It should be the size of a kibetza, ideally, but it doesn't have to be baked specifically for the Erev, because after all, like we said, the baked item isn't really the critical part of the Eruv. The Eruv has to remain intact. If it's eaten, you cannot rely on it. If it's partially eaten and a kazayas remains, then you can rely on it, as long as the kazayas of it is left over. The food from the Eruv should be used for the Shabbos meal. Now, when do you make the Eruv? What's the ideal time to make the Eruv? So according to Rava, we said Rava holds the reason for Eruv Tavshilin is to remind you to leave a nice portion over for Shabbos. So the Rush points out that according to that Shita, the Eruv must be made the day before Yantif, not 2 days before Yantif, not 5 days before Yantif. It's not going to remind you of anything then. It's supposed to remind you going into Yantif to leave over a nice amount for Shabbos. According to Rav Ashi, Erev Tavshilin is done to remind someone that it's Asur to cook on Yantif to Shabbos, and certainly on Yantif to a weekday, so the Rush writes, according to that, you could even make it several days before Yantif, as long as the reminder is still there, as long as you still have it set aside in the kitchen. How do we pass? So the Mishmura says, as you would guess, L'chadchila, try to do like Rava, but the Eved, we can rely on Rav Ashi. What should you do if you forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin? So if you remember during Ben Hashmashos, before it's Tzeis HaKochavim, so you could do it then, because the rabbis were not gozer on things that are the Tzoruch Mitzvah for Ben Hashmashos. So the Isser of making an Eruv on Yantif is not a problem. You can make the Eruv during Ben Hashmashos. What if you're already left for Shul? So it's okay if you daven Mincha B'Yechidus. Go home, make the Eruv, and you'll daven Mincha B'Yechidus. As we had a whole shiur about not to minimize the importance of Minyan. Minyan is a very important thing. Making sure you have Shalom Bayis, that you didn't forget your Eruv to have Shulin, is a more important thing. So go in the Yisru, even if you're ready left for Shul. Now, if you can call someone at home, or you can contact someone at home, and when you get to Shul, if there's a phone, you can just call somebody, so then obviously that's the best. Have someone do it at home for you. If that's not possible, try to make one in the house of someone. Let's say you have a 25-minute walk to the shul. By the time you get there, if you go back, it's going to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. So you don't have to make the Eruv in your house. If there's a neighbor of the shul, I live two doors down, you can just knock on my door, and we can make an Eruv right there. Good. That's and if that's not possible, Shulchan Aruch says you could do the following trick. You could say, Pas v'tavshil, she'ekechenu kishe'ovo lebesi, yemei achshav le'eruv tavshilin. The bread and the cooked food that I'm going to take when I get home should be now for an Erev Tavshilin. This is a complicated sugya in halacha called Breira, that I don't yet know exactly which cooked food and which bread I'm going to take when I get home, but it's Huvra Adavra L'mafreya that's what the Erev was chal on Erev Yantif. Every person who plans on preparing from Shabbos for Yantif has to make an Erev, but it's generally assumed one in a household is good enough. One member of the household has everyone else in mind, and everyone can rely on that. Shulchan Aruch Rav says even guests in the house can rely on the Baal HaBayis, and the guest is then allowed to prepare on Yantif for Shabbos. What if you don't have an Erev? So we have two more minutes, let's just finish this up. If someone doesn't have an Erev for whatever reason, or if he had one and was eaten, you're not allowed to do any preparation on Yantif for Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch writes that if someone didn't make an Erev before Yantif, you're allowed to do it on the first day of Yantif, by setting aside food for the Erev and making the following tonight. Why do we have 2 days of Yantif? Because it's Sfeika D'Yoma. So all you got to do is say, if today is the real day of Yantif and tomorrow's a weekday, well then guess what? I'm allowed to cook tomorrow because tomorrow's a weekday. It's really just a regular Friday. But if tomorrow's Yantif and today is really Erev Yantif, well then I'm right on time for my Erev Tavshilin because today's really Erev Yantif. So you're allowed to make such a Tanai and make the Erev that the Shulchan Aruch says. This is not some Chronos Shakula. Shulchan Aruch says you can rely on such a Tanai and make the Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Yantif. Magen Avraham says you can even make a bracha on such an Erev Tavshilin. Rabbi Akiva Eiger disagrees. He says, no, so, don't make a bracha. We would probably say not to make a bracha. Savik brachas lahakel. Now, does that still make any sense nowadays, even when it's not really a Safik? Meaning the whole idea is because of a suffix. Maybe yes, maybe the first day, maybe the second day. We know which is the real day. We're experts in the calendar. We understand. And we're just meaning of a sin biadenu. So almost all poskim still hold that it applies nowadays. There is a minority view of the Rambam. Obviously, it's a major posik that holds that it would no longer apply nowadays. But most poskim believe that it still would apply. The other kula to use is relying on the rabbi's Erev. Like we said before, the rabbi of each town has everyone in mind when he makes the Erev. So that's the other kula that we could use. If a person forgets more than once, though, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's clear from the Gemara that if you forget on two separate Yom Tovim, you're not allowed to rely on the Erev of the rabbi anymore because then you're just a poshea, then you're just negligent. However, it's unclear exactly what it means, two separate Yom Tovim. Chayyadim says it has to be two consecutive Yom Tovim to make you negligent. If it's a Yom Tov and then 5 years from now you forget again, that's not going to make you negligent. Kav Chaim says, I'm sorry, that's the Shita of the Kav Chaim. Chayyadim says, even if they're not consecutive, it makes you a Poshea. Or Chashulchan says, even if they are consecutive, nowadays people have so much on their minds, you're never a Poshea. Because it's just, life is crazy nowadays. The Shulchan Aruch never could have imagined blackberries. And, if he could have imagined blackberries, he never would have thought that you're called a Poshea. The Gemara never would have thought you're called a Poshea if you forget two things in a row. The amount of other things that we forget twice in a row, it's very possible. Now, last thing, if you forgot, is it better to rely on the rabbi's Erev or better to make your own Erev on the first day of Yantif? Satz Machlokas, Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva, Simon Kuf Lamed, better to make your own. The Kaf HaChaim says better to rely on the rabbi because we should be concerned for the Shitas HaRambam. Shitas Rambam says that nowadays that we're bekin bekviyat diarcha, that we know the calendar, we're not allowed to make a run on the first day of Yantar. There's no real sfeika dioma. So to be choshish for the Shitas Rambam, better to rely on the rabbi's erev. Hopefully we got a basic overview of the issues of Eretz Tavshilin. Everyone should enjoy all the upcoming Yom Tovim.